and the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, confess our sins unto God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
That the Lord is good.
Blessed is man who takes refuge in Him.
For the Lord has chosen Zion.
He has desired it for His dwelling place.
This is my resting place forever.
Here I will dwell, for I have desired it.
I will abundantly bless her provisions.
I will satisfy her poor with bread.
Her priests I will clothe with salvation.
And her saints will shout for joy.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the second chapter. The voice said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To you I lift my eyes.
O you who are enthroned in the heavens.
Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress,
so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
For we have had more than enough.
Our soul has had more than enough of scorn of those who are at ease.
Of the contempt of the proud. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
To you I lift up my eyes.
O you who are enthroned in the heavens.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the 12th chapter. Brothers, I must go on boasting, though as there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool. For I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly for my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now heard the word of God, what is it that you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration is going to be the epistle reading that we just heard. You may be seated. After just a bit of modest bragging about his exclusive backstage tour of heaven, Paul writes, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me." To keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And so here's the scene. You're flying in a plane across the country, and suddenly all of the engines on the plane burst into flames. And the co-pilot rushes out of the cockpit and announces that the plane is going to crash. It's necessary to abandon the plane, but not to worry. There are enough parachutes for every one of the passengers. The stewardesses began to distribute the parachutes to everyone with instructions as to how to wear them and operate them, saying, "I know this is scary for you, but be assured the parachute will deliver you safely." As the door of the plane is open, the first passenger steps up and shouts over the wind, "Could I make a request? Could I get a green parachute? Green is my lucky color." The pilot shakes his head in disbelief and says, "No, it's enough that you have a parachute." Second asks, "I'm afraid of heights. Can you remove my fears before I jump?" "No," comes the reply, "but despite your fears, you'll land safely." Third argues that he would like to wait until the plane gets lower before jumping, to which the pilot says, "No, don't be ridiculous. You've got a parachute. Just trust it." A fourth, with knocking knees, shouts, "I have a better idea. Let's crash with the plane. Maybe we'll survive." And the pilot shouts, "You people don't understand. I've given you a parachute. That's enough." To Paul's prayer for thorn removal surgery, Jesus answers, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made known in weakness." We always want Jesus to fix one more thing for us so that we can finally get on with the business of trusting him and living by faith. "Just this one thing, Lord. Fix this, change that, give me this, take that away. Then I'll be ready to trust you. Then I'll be ready to jump into this life of faith." Paul has a problem. He calls it his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. The scriptures don't say, which means whatever it was is not the point. Don't waste your time there. But Paul did what we all do. Whatever it was, he prayed that the Lord would remove it, take it away. So what is your thorn in the flesh? What is it that you pray that your Lord would remove from you? Is it the physical pain or the disease that you pray that the Lord would take away from you? Is it the emotional pain of loneliness or depression or anger that you have prayed now how many times that the Lord would remove from you? Is it the consequences of mistakes that you've made, mistakes of your youth, mistakes in raising a family, mistakes in a marriage, mistakes in your workplace, where the consequences remain, even if it's not a public record, certainly on record in your heart? really, who doesn't pray all of these things all of the time? For ourselves, even for others. And so before we go any further with this, let's just be sure that we're clear about this one thing. It's not that these prayers for thorn extraction surgery are wrong. Even our Lord himself prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane that God his Father would remove his thorn in the flesh, that cup that he was given to drink, that was filled with the most horrible physical, emotional, spiritual sufferings that this world has ever known. It's not wrong to pray like this. But even as we pray with our Lord, with St. Paul, that God would remove our thorns in our flesh, we must also always be willing to pray, "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done." Which is just what Paul does, eventually. It took Paul some time to learn this, because as we all know, this is a really hard lesson to learn. It's important to notice that Paul knows where these thorns come from. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. And the truth is, Satan has got an endless supply of these thorns, and he loves to keep sticking them to us. And being the fallen, turned in on ourselves creatures that we are, there is a way in which we are actually even somewhat thankful for these things. Because they're handy, you see. They're handy because they help us postpone putting our trust in the Lord. We like to use these harassing thorns as ways to keep our Lord at a safe distance from us, or us at a safe distance from him. There's always one more thorn to remove before we're willing to jump. And we've got enough of these thorns to use as excuses for not jumping to make a rose bush jealous. An answer to Paul's prayer, Jesus replies with a very hard answer. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made known in weakness." So much for the "if you just pray hard enough, God will give you what you ask for" lie that the super Christians keep pumping into the air that we breathe. Not even all Jesus' prayers were answered as he asked. God did not take that cup away from him as he asked. Rather, his Father gave him his holy angels to help him drink it. "My grace is sufficient for you" means you have everything that you need in the incarnation and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. You don't need something else. You don't need something more. So here's the test. Here's the test, and let's see how you do. It's a one-question test. And the question is this: what if God's only yes to all of your prayers, every one of them, was his saving grace in Jesus Christ? Would that be enough? Would his grace in Christ be sufficient for you? Let me put it the other way. What if God were to say no to all of your prayers, but yes to his Son who prays for you? "Holy Father, they are in the world. Keep them in your name." Would that be enough? For all of his pleading, the answer Paul gets from his Lord is, "My grace is sufficient for you." This is hard for us to swallow. We've been taught all our life to be self-sufficient, independent. But Jesus says, "My grace is your sufficiency." That means that our sufficiency is not in ourselves at all, but in our Lord. And we are not independent, but rather we are entirely dependent on him. And this is very hard for us. No one likes the idea of having to be cared for because we can't care for ourselves. In my entire career, I never met one of my parishioners who said to me that they were ready to go to the nursing home. What we really want, what we really pray for, is for God to give us the sufficiency to fix all of our problems and to take care of ourselves. We pray that God would demonstrate his power by making us strong and powerful enough to take care of ourselves. And so it's contrary to and against all of our wisdom when we hear our Lord say, "My power is made perfect in weakness." And the weakness that he is talking about is your weakness and mine. How strange and scary this sounds to our "might makes right" and "only the strong survive" way of thinking. We say, "Power is made perfect in strength." But Jesus turns everything around and upside down. "My power is made perfect in weakness." It is only as we come to grips with our weakness and our inability to save ourselves that we are ready to surrender all of our reason, all of our senses, all of our excuses, all of our thorns, and confess, "Yes, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. It is all that I need." And that's why the answer to our prayer that those thorns might be removed is so often no. Those thorns show us just how weak and helpless we really are. They shatter our pride. They humble us. They, as Paul said, keep us from becoming conceited. So the best thing, it turns out, the best thing that can happen to us is that those thorns in our flesh might actually do their job. Not the job that Satan put them there for, but the job that our Lord uses them for. And so maybe this is why Jesus calls all of those so-called weaknesses that he rattles off in his Beatitudes such blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. "My power is made perfect in weakness," says our Lord. Not only does he exercise his power in our weakness and through it, but it is in the weakness of his ways that his power is made known among us. Just look to the cross. In the weakness and the foolishness of Jesus Christ crucified, we see the power of God to save the entire world. Just look at your baptism. In the weakness of plain water is the power of God to wash away all of your sins and to raise you to a new life. Just look at the preaching of his word. In the weakness of an absurd proclamation that Christ Jesus died for you and therefore your sins are forgiven. Is the power of God to convert our boasting in ourselves to boasting in our weaknesses? Just look to his supper. In the weakness of ordinary bread and wine, is the power of God to forgive your sins and strengthen you in faith in this one true life, life everlasting. If God's power is so great in these weak things, how much more ought we to boast in his power to work than in my weaknesses? Paul's response to God's no to his prayer is to jump with both feet into this life of faith. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The paradoxical nature of the Christian faith is this: every thorn in the flesh is one more reason for us to boast in the all-sufficiency of God's grace for me. Every thorn in the flesh becomes my instructor in one of the most important lessons I can learn in this life, the lesson of being content. Content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. A contentment that is built on the sure foundation that God's power is being made perfect in me. You don't have to have all of your problems solved before you can get on with trusting that the Lord will take care of you. You don't have to have your life all together before you can start living by faith. You don't have to have a great faith before the Lord can give you a great life. Our Lord has borne all of our thorns in his flesh, and on the third day he rose again. And we have already died with him and been raised with him, and we now await that day when we will be thorn-free. But until then, we will boast in our weaknesses. Let Satan pierce me with as many thorns as were in that crown that pierced my Lord's head and that pierced his hands and feet and side on the cross. His grace is sufficient for me, and I'm ready to live by faith. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your Holy Church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Grant your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service, faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Keep in safety Pastor Gregory and his family on their homeward way. Raise up faithful servants to advance the gospel, both at home and in distant lands. Lord, in your mercy. Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead peaceful lives. Grant health and favor to all who bear the office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will, Lord, in your mercy. Take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Bless the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. Lord, in your mercy. Sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service that they may show your praise in our land and in all the world. Bless Catherine and Tech in their wedding as their wedding draws near. Lord, in your mercy. Let your blessing remain upon the seed time and harvest, the commerce and industry, the leisure and rest, the arts and culture of our people. Take under your special protection those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and be with all who put their hands to any useful task. Give them the just rewards of their labor and the knowledge that their work is a blessing in your sight. Lord, in your mercy. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially Ed, Ted, Alice, David, Rick and Patty, Ron, Michelle, Stan, Rich, Carol, Judy, Danielle, Timothy and Ruth, Lester. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those for whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you in your church on earth, who now rest from their labors. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints, and bring us at last to the joys of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let's give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you in this one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.